You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 28. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week, we talk to the cheerful and funny Marcy Walton, Assistant Director for Academic Support and Learning Communities for Loyola University Chicago Residence Life. The conversation starts out about living expenses and bingo strategy, which, random as it is, really isn't that big of a surprise on the Higher Ed Tangent podcast. We then talk about the joys of living in Chicago, and don't worry, we talk about the weather, because what's more higher ed than weather?
On an actual higher ed note, we do talk about what's happening on campus for Marcy, including four new directors in her department alone, and exploring a really cool new initiative for her learning communities on campus. And we talk about students being really, really mature and really responsible, which is a super refreshing thing to talk about. We hope you enjoy listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 28.
Just moved off campus and it's awesome.
Is this your first ever off campus experience?
Yeah, it is. I lasted 13 years.
Well done.
Never living off campus. So the rent is killing me. I just feel like it's so stupid. So I'm just going to buy a house because rent is the stupidest thing in the world. You're just giving someone money versus I'm going to get that money back someday. Nope. So
that
every
is how
time
it
I
works.
Write a check, my pen just scribbles angrily. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this again. I just did this.
That is the one thing that because there was a point where I considered getting or going right into getting my master's degree and basically getting an on-campus assistantship type situation. Mm-hmm. And I will say that the one thing I am glad about is that I just moved into an apartment and I'm now used to paying rent, because I feel like I would have had the same feeling of, oh my God, why am I paying someone money to live somewhere?
It's so stupid to me. It's like, this was the worst idea humans have ever had.
Welcome to slightly outside of student affairs.
Right.
Also known as the real world.
Exactly.
Occasionally.
Well.
So adulting sucks.
Every time you write that check, it's another adult point for you.
Yeah. That's true.
I think you get to cash those out when you're like an old person. And I think you get extra dabs at bingo. I think that's what the adult points.
I am a killer bingo player.
Are you?
I grew up in the Midwest.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I have technique and skill, and it's more than what it seems. So.
What do you use as your marker?
I use a dauber.
You have the dab. I've heard that trolls are a thing, little.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Good luck. Yeah. It's real fun because my best friend and I go, and we're the youngest people by at least 40 years. So all of the old biddies really have the trolls and the My Little Ponies and all of the weird things from the 80s are for some reason the good luck charms, but it is what it is. And then they get angry when we win because they're like, we could use that money for medicine. And I'm like, woo, drinks for everyone.
I love bingo. I haven't gone to bingo in so long, and it's just it's so great. I'll have to find a bingo hall.
Super fun.
Somewhere.
Wow.
Have you ever played? Are you not a bingo fan, Logan?
It's okay, I guess.
It's just okay. It's
anticipation.
Better than yeah.
I didn't know there was skill involved with a game of chance, but
you'd be surprised because it's the first person who calls bingo. So if you're slow to catch up, then somebody could call bingo at the same time, and then you miss
so out. So it's really about the same skill set as Uno.
A little bit. Well, sure. No, I think Uno has a greater skill set than bingo.
Yeah, slightly.
So I have to ask.
The yelling is the same.
Right, and you have to be the most energetic person. Do you, first of all, I'm going to assume that you get multiple cards. Got to increase your chances. Are you the person that lays them all in one big line? So you just go down all the B's and down all the I's, or do you put them in squares? What's the strategy?
No, I do, what is that shape? What came to mind was rhombus.
Nope.
My bingo cards are not in a rhombus.
No, because they're squares. So really your only options are
rectangle.
Rhombus or square or rectangle. Those are really your options.
rectangle, and then you snake up and down the rows all the way up and down.
Strategy.
I do 8 because otherwise I'll have a panic attack. My best friend does 12 to like 16.
Wow.
And that's too much.
But yeah, that's a lot to handle. But it's increasing your chances, yo.
So since we are on a podcast that requires our guests to introduce themselves.
Oh, right.
Why don't you introduce yourself, Marcy?
Great. Hi, everyone. I'm Marcy. I love bingo. I am originally from Ohio, such as I like bingo and did it throughout high school. I currently live in Chicago, just moved here about a year ago, and I work in Res Life for Loyola Chicago, a great Jesuit school right on Lake Michigan. And I work with the Learning Community Program and academic support stuff and supervising some really great professionals. And let me think, what else? I have a 3-year-old French bulldog who has all kinds of sass. And I lived in California for 7 years before this. So I came back for the 5th coldest winter in Chicago's history. So great timing on my part.
Well, it's only in the last 150 years.
Right, just like as long as they've been keeping records.
There was that whole ice age where it was a little colder.
That is
and it
true.
Was covered right. by, you know,
right.
a glacier.
Yeah, so like other than the glacier periods.
Or at least at the very edge of it winter. In the last one.
You're doing great. You're right. doing great.
It's fine. I survived. Awesome. I bought a $300 coat that covers me from head to lower calf.
That was
really key in my survival.
Mm-hmm.
And I just actually visited Ohio this weekend to drop off my dog with my parents because I have all kinds of travels and things coming up. So he gets to stay with his grandparents. They call it the Walton Retreat House for the dog.
They rent out spaces to other dogs? Is this like a hotel?
Yeah, I think they probably would. So he went swimming tonight, and now they're doing a campfire, so I keep getting pictures texted to me of what the dog is doing. So
That's impressive.
Is the dog making s'mores?
It would have to be chocolate-less s'mores, because he would die.
That is a good point. I have a cat, and I forget these things.
Actually, chocolate will kill a cat, too, so.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Retracting my original statement. Well, right. I feel like, honestly, though, at this point, like Petco or PetSmart has probably made something that emulates a s'more for dogs.
Yeah. Or maybe it's that gross vegan chocolate carob stuff.
Oh.
Sorry to listeners who are vegans, but I tried to bake with that once, and it was, like, primordial ooze. Like, it was not good.
That's a solid phrase that I want to be able to use sometime in the future.
Your goal is to use it in this week.
I don't even know how that's going to happen.
Well, try to melt some vegan chocolate, and then there you go.
Yes. So, naturally, as we were chatting, I just Googled s'mores for dogs. And
I got livingbettertogether.com, and there they exist.
No, I got chewy.com, s'mores sandwich treat, cream dog treats. These sandwich cream cookies were created to make sure dogs are treated no differently than anyone else in the family. Hands off! These cookies are for dogs.
And yes, it is carob chips that you use.
Yep. Well, this has a combination of graham, carob, and marshmallow flavors, implying that it's just all those flavors. So
this one includes fluff, which is marshmallow.
Yes.
Carob chips and dog biscuits.
That would do it.
Hmm.
And apparently the dog loves them.
These, though, listeners, are kosher as well, if you were interested.
Oh.
And it features a dog sitting on his hind legs, holding a pile of them in one paw. And in the other paw, he clearly has twisted it like an Oreo and is licking the cream. So apparently this also allows your dog to have opposable thumbs to hold the cookie and twist.
There's nothing like the grasping that dogs do all the time.
Dogs are so good at grasping things.
Well, so those,
they do exist. Wow. We treat our pets very funnily. Like, do you think that any of our dogs are like, oh man, I wish I could have a s'more? Like, probably not.
Nope. They're like, oh yes, more gross things to lick at. Ooh, I got a stick.
Yeah.
As if laying around the house, getting all the food you want and you know, not having to go out and get a job is a bad life.
Those darn dogs.
Their life of abundance is terrible.
They don't have to get jobs.
You know, dogs used to have jobs. They used to round up the sheep and, you know, tell us when bad things are about to come and eat us while we're in the woods.
Back in my day, dogs had jobs.
Yeah. Ungrateful, new with their darn dog technology. Get off my lawn.
Literally, get off the lawn because you're a dog.
Very true. But don't poop on the lawn.
And yeah.
Pick it up. Gross.
So what interesting things are happening at Loyola Chicago these days?
Sure.
Other than the freezing cold weather.
Other than the freezing cold weather.
I'm pretty sure it's summer. So I think that's out. It's in the nice 60s and 70s now, right?
Yeah. It was like in the 50s this week with rain. And I was just done. I was like, I quit this life. I need something else. Well, I just wrapped up my first year. And in my first year, we've had a lot of transition in the department, and that we've had four directors. So I'm not airing dirty laundry. Like, everybody knows kind of what's going on. But that's been very interesting. So the director who came on when I started knew he wanted to leave. There were some family things going on, so he left in February. My boss said, oh, I'll help you guys, but I'm still job searching. So she stayed on until April, and then we're doing a search. So in the meantime, the deputy Title IX coordinator and the dean of students they're being co-directors.
Cool.
So it has been,
I'm sure,
hour by hour.
So has HR decided, like, you've used up all your hiring power for the next, like, 17 years because of all of these changes?
Right. They're like, okay, you're done.
You guys are good.
Whoever this person is has to stay for multiple decades.
I'm sure you guys will find somebody awesome.
We have to. There's no real other option. So,
well, there's something to be said about taking the time to find the right person. When my boss came in, it was actually very quick. It took a while to get the position created because they did some studies on how to best do everything. We actually do that for every position. It's part of our Office of Institutional Effectiveness's job is to kind of find ways to streamline things and to make things better. And
what a cool office.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. She's a vice president. She's actually really awesome. She actually helped create the job that I have now, so I'm very thankful to her. But she's actually a mentor to me, so I really appreciate seeing her. I haven't seen her in a while because she's been busy with other things. But anyway, they decided to finally put marketing and communications back together again because they'd been separated for a few years. And so far, it's been awesome, especially for what I do, social media. So I really like the fact that they took a few months to figure out the position and find ways to improve it. And, you know, once they did that, they literally found the perfect guy who's my boss now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sucking up or anything. He really is good at what he does. And has really given me a chance to do a lot of things that I hadn't been able to do before. So, really awesome guy. So there's a lot to be said about waiting a little bit, getting it right, and then finding the right person to fit it.
Absolutely.
I've actually heard of you guys because I'm pretty sure you guys got one of the most 50 most beautiful campuses, urban campuses, like us. A few weeks ago. So I've actually had friends that go there. I've heard it's gorgeous. You're in downtown Chicago, right?
We're not downtown. We're definitely still in Chicago. So we're in Rogers Park, which is the northernmost neighborhood before you get into Evanston, which is where Northwestern is. But we are right on the lake. So Lake Michigan is the eastern border of campus all the way down.
So when the Transformers came a few years ago and like really did all that damage to the city, you got a good view, but you didn't get any damage, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It's like the ultimate fireworks show.
Did you get to see Shia? Shia?
Ugh. I just instinctively shuddered. I didn't even control that. That was involuntary. My body response to Shia LaBeouf.
I was actually there for a conference when they were filming. It was pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh.
I was here when they were doing all the Batman movies because they filmed, like, you know, the scene where they're, the Batmobile is going like underneath and the,
this is the Chris Nolan Batman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The 18 wheeler flips on end and everything. All of those street scenes were filmed, in Chicago. And I was downtown with a couple of friends seeing just like a musical, and we went into the parking garage and we couldn't get to our floor. And we're like, that's so weird. Like, what's going on? We found somebody and they're like, oh yeah, the Batmobile is up on there. And we're like, the Batmobile is there. We're like, is Christopher Nolan there? Is Batman there? Can we like go touch it? And they're like, no, you can't go touch it. Like, you just can't have strangers touching the Batmobile. So that was like my brief brush with fame, was being in the same parking garage as the Batmobile.
Yeah, I accidentally wandered into the set of Transformers. Like, they had everything blocked off except for like the Riverwalk. So I was walking up the Riverwalk, and I came up some stairs, and I was in the middle of all of this destruction, and I was like, why is there debris everywhere? Did something explode?
I'm in a superhero movie right now.
There was like a Ford Explorer on fire over here, and I was just and some people looked at me funny. I was like, I'm gonna go this way, so I kind of scooted off. Nobody arrested me or anything, but there was they forgot to block off a stairway.
And you just found your way there. Look at that.
Wow.
Yep, I walked past Lamborghini and a yellow Camaro and a few other things and was like, oh, this must be some kind of robot movie. And I was out of there. I actually love Chicago. It's a great town.
It is.
In the summer.
Yeah, in the summer. This actually, the fall is pretty nice as well. We had a pretty good fall, but winter and then extended winter is what I call spring.
Yes.
It's pretty brutal.
That's incredibly accurate.
Okay, so we tangented it a little bit, but so what kind of projects have you been working on? What kind of interesting stuff have you got going on there?
Yeah.
Have you just been playing Icebreakers because you have all these new people? Like, is it just continuous Icebreakers?
Just constantly name, position. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
What's your favorite Icebreaker to play?
Tell us one weird fact about you.
Right.
I love Icebreakers. They're great.
I love facilitating icebreakers. I don't like participating in them. Yeah. Actually, oh my gosh, I had like an existential crisis, if you'll follow me down this rabbit hole for the weekend.
Here we go.
So my favorite icebreaker is always, how did you get your name? Like, are you named after a character or like your mom's best friend or whatever? So I always love that as an icebreaker because I think I have the best story. So the story that I tell, which I was told as a child, is that my parents wanted me to be named, what was it? Elena. So everything was Elena. Everybody was calling me, blah, blah, blah. My mom was in recovery. My dad goes to sign the birth certificate and signs it Marcy instead of this agreed upon name. And they bring back the baby, says Marcy Walton. And Walton's a really common last name in my like county. And my mom says, no, that's just, like, this is the wrong kid. Like, this is another Walton person who had a baby. This isn't my baby. And then for 20 minutes, everybody thinks, you know, in the early 80s that somebody stole a baby or switched a baby. And my dad comes back and he's like, no, I just always really liked that name. I read it in a book somewhere and I was afraid you weren't going to like it. So I just signed the birth certificate. So that's the story I've been raised with of how I got my name. So I was telling this to my sister-in-law this weekend, and my mom comes out and she's like, that's not how you got your name. We liked Elena until I was 8 months pregnant, and then we were looking through the book, and your dad said, I like Marcy better. And I said, okay.
So your first story is so much better. Go with it.
I know.
Go with it. Keep it.
But where along the way did she tell it to me as like a way to like get me to shut up at nighttime or like to make me feel special? I don't know.
That's
you know, to be honest, I like the whole story Where they lied to you your entire life.
That's a good point, Logan. I'm going to agree with Logan. When you tell this story, I think you should always tell it, just, but don't say, like, I was, don't preface it with being lied to. Like, right. Tell the whole baby stolen swap story and be like, but yeah. That whole thing was a lie. Like, oh, man.
Twist.
Plot twist. It actually was a really boring story.
Right. It was a really boring story where they were in the car in traffic and decided this name instead of this name. But my mind was blown. I'm like, for 30 some odd years, I feel like I've been lied to about the origin of my name.
Just because you were.
Kind of were.
Thank you.
We're here. We're consoling you.
Thanks so much for the support. Basically strangers that I just met online.
Welcome.
Welcome to Higher Ed Social.
Right. We mock you for your name. Blah, blah, blah.
Yay. It's the core piece of your identity. That's what you do.
Well, I think that your whole story, like Logan said, is a great story.
It's crazy. I hope my mom listens to this.
Well, she might be one of those 50 listeners that listen to us every week.
You have more. She'd probably be like, what's a podcast? I don't. What is that? Is it on the internet? She tries.
Is that made by pod people?
Right. Does it have something to do with pea pods? Yeah. That's really what she would say.
Pea pods.
Yeah, but okay, so we were talking about icebreakers. Oh, something exciting about work.
Real things that you're doing at work.
Things I'm doing at work. So the main, so like I supervise professionals, which is great and wonderful, but the other focus is working with our learning community program. So we have, let me think, 6 learning communities, and we'll have 8 for next year. So that's been the bulk of my spring is admission for that.
So when you say learning communities, do you mean like residence halls or floors of halls that are specifically for a certain major or thing like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was actually in a learning community when I was in college.
Very cool. This is how you turned out. That's good to know.
Yeah.
A little child.
Well, you can be normal.
Yeah.
I was in the honors living and learning center.
Mm-hmm. So we're bringing that one. Actually, we're bringing honors online for next year. So that'll be 200 students, which is exciting. We're also bringing on a new program called FIRE with a Y, because why is anything normal?
As long as there's not an E at the end. If there's not an E at the end, then it's really trendy.
No, there definitely is an E. So it's the first year.
You got to omit the E and end with an R. That's how... Look, Flickr,
there's
you know,
really no
Tumblr
vowels. And, yeah, could you imagine a student like in a like very professional job interview being like, I was in the FIR program, like,
I was a FIR scholar.
I was a
like,
FIR.
Okay.
Rumble,
weird.
Rumble. Anyway, FIRE.
Yeah, so this was a $1.1 or $1.2 million grant that the university got from the Howard Hughes Medical Foundation. So we're just like rolling in cash, which is exciting and kind of rare, like Scrooge McDuck status, just like swimming through coins.
Wow.
So it's specifically for underrepresented students in STEM fields. So women, first gen, undocumented, students of color, particularly from Chicago City schools, to be able to give them a cohort model and specific linked classes and faculty mentors. And then in the 3 weeks after their first year, they'll do 3 weeks of directed research with like one-on-one with a faculty member and anything from like chemistry to mathematics to environmental science. And then at the end of that, they're able to say, yeah, as a first-year student, I was doing original research with a faculty member. So going into grad school or med school or anything like that will be that much easier and, like, put them that much ahead in addition to all the other stuff. So that's pretty exciting. Working with faculty members who have no concept of what student affairs is or res life or it's been – they're so into it and so committed and, like, that's the hardest part. But taking 17 steps back and, like, okay, I need to explain to you – the difference between a residence hall room and a residence hall suite, because you don't know the difference. And I'm like that, I'm just taking a lot of information for granted. So it's actually been a pretty good reality check of like how I explain things. and kind of get people excited and on board. So
how do the
lots of work with that?
How do the faculty, other than that, like those research opportunities and things, how are the faculty involved with those learning communities?
Mm-hmm. So with the exception of FIRE, because it's a little different. So faculty teach the linked courses. So in our system, it's just for first year students. So they take their UNIV, like intro to college class together, mm-hmm. which is taught by their academic advisor. So that's nice linkage there. And then they take a linked class that counts for like their graduation requirements that they right. have to take anyway. So
it's well, it's part of our general education called the Bell Corps.
Yeah. So the faculty that teach that linked core class are required to do an out-of-classroom experience with the students that we fund. Mm-hmm. So some of them are really low-key. Like, I'm going to have coffee dates with every student throughout the course of the semester. Or one faculty member rented a bus and got a caterer and bused all the students to his home up in Evanston and had a final book discussion and dinner. And then my favorite one, and I hope she does it again, it was for our multicultural learning community. And it was the linked class was kind of Chicago neighborhoods through a social justice lens by reading different books of like different immigrant experiences. So she booked a Chicago ghost tour and then got two microphones, and the tour guide was doing, okay, this is where this happened and this happened. And then the professor got on with the students and said, like, remember when we read this in class? Or like, remember this is the neighborhood that we talked about from that poem? And was like cool. making all of these connections while, you know, an open roof bus tour through the city of Chicago.
That's really cool. Yeah. So they get the faculty just chooses their like experience. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. cool.
Yeah. So some will do like bring in a guest speaker or go see a movie, or they can pretty much do anything that they want. And Chicago, we like to say it's sort of like our living laboratory. There's no campus bubble, kind of. Like I never hear that phrase on campus because like the L runs through the middle of campus. So it's pretty easy to get connected to the city, which is one of the things I like about it most.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So is there a max? I'm sure there's a max number of students that you have in the like in each specific community or within the mm-hmm. program in general. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, something interesting about our program too is that a lot of places it's the residence life and the faculty component and that's it. But we have a third sort of branch, which is administrative partners. Who are like the content expert of the theme. So like the director of our leadership center also is the admin partner for our leadership community. The two folks who run our environmental sustainability office also work with our greenhouse community. So they kind of decide what is a good cap. So like our multicultural and our service and faith get really, really deep and talk like really personal identity kind of things. So those are capped at 35, because other than that, it would just be unwieldy. But then the other ones can go 75 to 100. The admissions folks and enrollment management are always like, more, 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 because we know if they're in LCs, they'll stay, and they'll like their experience, and they'll talk about it. But it's always quality over quantity, and that's kind of like the tension that I get to manage, which is so fun.
That's cool. So are students only doing this, they have to come into it in their first year,
mm-hmm.
and they stay for their entire time, or is it 1 year?
Yeah, it's a one-year experience. Okay. It used to be for sophomores as well. We have a two-year live-on requirement, so you have to live on your first and second year. But the core curriculum drastically shifted, so we couldn't find classes for sophomores. So this year, in the midst of all that other transition that I talked about, I brought online theme communities. So students who are in LCs can propose a theme for their sophomore year. And then they got to opt out of the housing assignment process and just pick where they wanted to live, which the amount of drama and worry and anxiety of first-year students trying to figure out where they're living
mm-hmm.
just got vacuumed out of that experience. So that's starting this fall, actually. So we'll see how it goes. We have I was hoping for one or two, and we had 6 proposed and 5 approved.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So there's someone, there's a greenhouse one, a couple on service, one on kind of personal identity. And then my favorite is Ladies of Loyola, which is women's leadership. So it was 15 women from the leadership community that wanted like a gender specific. I'm trying to push them to do Ladies of Loyola, : women's empowerment. So it's not just like ladies who lunch.
Girls only. Sorry. Right, no boys allowed up in the tree.
Boys allowed. Stay on your side.
So moving forward with something like that, who is responsible for finding like those faculty contact? Like, how does that work? That's interesting.
Yeah. As part of their application, they all had to identify an advisor, a faculty or staff advisor. So those folks are already in place. So they couldn't apply without the advisor agreement in hand, because we didn't want it to be us managing it. Like, we really wanted to be student-centered, student-driven, a student experience with minimal staff assistance. So those staff and faculty advisors are hopefully gonna play that role. Nice. So fingers crossed. We'll see.
I'm impressed with how well that went for its first year, considering a lot of it was in the students' hands.
Yeah, I was shocked. One of the groups, the Ladies of Loyola, came in with a PowerPoint. Oh. Like, this is what we're going to do. And I was like, okay, well, we were just going to have a conversation. Listen, and then another one came after our conversation with a constitution and was like, this is what's happening. Here's what everyone's role. They were having, oh my gosh, I can't remember what the name of it was. It was like the arbitrator of like, if any suites have conflicts before we come to the RA, this person is going to work it out. And like, we're going to handle it internally before it comes to you. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're 18. Like,
wow.
Where did that come from?
I'm so impressed.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my gosh.
I was shocked.
I hope they're listening. I'm really impressed by you, friends.
Right.
I'm very, very impressed. It's little moments like that. That's why, part of me loved being an RA was watching moments like that of like, wow, I didn't ever expect you to be so mature about a situation, and you are. And like, wow. Well, good luck in your first year. It sounds like it's going to, go off really well.
I'm excited.
At least so far. It's only going to get bigger at least, because it'll definitely catch on. Wow, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
There's stuff going on.
Are they designated? You may have mentioned this and I might have missed it. Is it a designated area on campus where all these students are, or are they kind of scattered?
No, they got to pick their housing. So it really depended on where they wanted to live. The Quints on campus are in this, it looks like a castle and it's huge. So everybody wanted to live in Georgetown. So we had to break some dreams of like, but you have 13 people, not 15 people. Sometimes housing is simple math.
just sometimes.
just sometimes. Meanwhile, as our housing assignments team had like nervous twitches from like all of the stuff they had to do to make this work. But they got to pick any of the upperclassmen communities that they wanted. And they sort of got the cream of the crop locations. So that was part of the kind of bribery almost of like, you get the nice places and you get to know where you're living before anyone else.
That is a big prize for a lot of students. So
good motivation.
Yes, hopefully. Definitely.
Hopefully.
Wow. Very interesting. Yeah. Wow. Well, good luck. That sounds so cool. Just allow. It's so cool to hear like the students are actually passionate about a topic enough to go through this process.
Yeah.
Like it's absolutely. Not just like, oh yeah, it's kind of interesting to me, but like Ladies of Loyola sound awesome. Go girl power. Woo. Yeah. Women leadership.
Yeah. And part of the application process was we're requiring an internal program once a month and then once a semester an external program. So to see some of their proposals, like the Ladies of Loyola want to do a women's empowerment conference for the city of Chicago. on campus, and they're like, we've already identified this judge and this lawyer and this lobbyist, and we all have connections somehow. So they'll come and be like our keynote speakers.
Wow.
Okay. Great. Wow. Yeah, let's do that.
I'm just gonna be over here while you guys do this. Like,
right, I'm like, okay, well, like, tell me how much pizza you want, and I'll make sure it's there because you've got the rest of it.
That's incredible.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get them on the show.
Maybe.
Right. Exactly. Ladies of Loyola will be episode 47 or something.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
It was good.
That's so great. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good luck. Logan, I thought you had a question, but I guess
not. No, it's okay.
Oh, sorry. We were having girl power moment.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
The ladies of Loyola, like, really got me going. That's awesome. Can it's I become okay. a lady of Loyola, or do I have to be, like, in Loyola?
No, I'm sure that they'll do, like, honorary members.
Oh, I will, as soon as they have applications, because I'm sure they probably already do, based on what I've heard about them already,
right.
Definitely send me one, because I will fill one out, because perfect. I'm all about women empowerment and awesome conferences, mm-hmm. and obviously, like, girls that get stuff done, because they yes. are, like, rocking it. I'm very mm-hmm. impressed. Not to say mm-hmm. that your guys aren't, it's just that that's who we've been talking about today.
Right, right, sure yeah. Students at Loyola are pretty incredible in lots of ways, and this is just one of the many examples.
They seem it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for this episode.
So too.
Time went by fast.
It flies on this thing. We realize that people probably don't want to listen to us talk for like 3 hours, so we do that.
Fair enough.
But anyway, thanks, Marcy, for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. We do. This was great fun.
And thank you to all of our listeners, of course. We always appreciate listening as well.
And for more information about the things we talked about this week, you can go to higher-ed.social. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HESpodcast, where you can ask us if you want to be on the show.
Thank you, Marcy. Thank you, listeners. Don't forget to subscribe. And we want you on the show.
Yes. So send us a tweet, send us an email, something like that. Have a great whatever day it is.